ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8 एंड 9। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8, असत्यम तिष्ठम ते जगदाहुरनीश्वरम अपरस्पर संभूतम किम मन्यत कामहेतुकम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। दे से दैट दिस वर्ल्ड इज अनरियल विद नो फाउंडेशन, नो गॉड इन कंट्रोल। दे से इट इज प्रोड्यूस्ड ऑफ सेक्स डिजायर एंड हैज नो कॉज अदर देन लस्ट। Purport: the demonic conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. There is no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to chance material actions and reactions. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. They have their own theory that the world has come about in its own way and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there is no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the Supreme Spirit. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance in perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance, just as in a dream we may create so many things which actually have no existence. Then when we are awake, we see that everything is simply a dream. But factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so, instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of the soul. As many living creatures come out from perspiration and from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, material nature is the cause of this manifestation, and there is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshen Prakritihi Suyate Sacharacharam. Under my direction, the whole material world is moving. In other words, among the demons, there is no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. Every one of them has some particular theory of his own. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they do not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. ओम अज्ञान हरे कृष्णा। ट्रांसलेशन वंस अगेन, टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। दे से दैट दिस वर्ल्ड इज अनरियल विद नो फाउंडेशन, नो गॉड इन कंट्रोल। दे से इट इज प्रोड्यूस्ड ऑफ सेक्स डिजायर एंड इज नो कॉज अदर देन लस्ट। सो दिस चैप्टर इज entitled The Divine and the Demonic Natures. So from verse 7 onwards, Krishna is basically describing the demonic qualities. Generally, when we hear the word demon, at least before we come to Krishna consciousness, the general image of a demon in our mind that comes to our mind is that he must be a shabby looking person with a bulky body, black body, with two big teeth hanging out of his mouth, with two horns on his head. But here those misconceptions are shattered by Krishna, because here he is talking about the qualities. And having a deformed body or a body that looks like that of a demon is not a standard for being called a demon, because in Srimad Bhagavatam we see that there were persons who were demons, who were actually devotees in the bodies of demons, and there were demigods who were actually supposed to have the divine qualities, and they acted like demons. Just like there is one pastime of Vritrasura. So he was in the body of a demon, and he was fighting with Indra. Indra is the king of demigods. But although Vritrasura was in the body of a demon, still at the last moment when Indra was supposed to kill Vritrasura with his thunderbolt, Vritrasura showed so much power that Indra got bewildered. And although Lord Narayan had given this Astra thunderbolt to Indra that could kill Vritrasura, Indra was so bewildered that he forgot. So Vritrasura actually was a demon. He actually preached to Indra that he should have faith in the words of the Lord, that this Astra has been given to you by the Lord and it is supposed to kill me. So you should immediately kill me so that I can go back to my beloved Lord. So he was a devotee in the body of a demon. And although in the end Indra killed Vritrasura, but before Indra killed Vritrasura, Vritrasura had completely immersed himself in meditation on the lotus feet of his beloved Lord Sankarshan, who was his worshipable deity. And so he went back to the spiritual world, which is eternal. And although apparently Indra won the battle, but still he had to stay back in the material world. So although being in the body of a demon, Vritrasura still achieved the perfection of life. And in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see two sons of a demigod named Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods. Although they were demigods, very beautiful, handsome, very rich, very influential, very attractive to the opposite sex, still they were enjoying in the Mandakini Ganga, which is the heavenly Ganges river. So they were enjoying with their girlfriends in the Mandakini Ganga, and even when the great sage Narad Muni arrived, they did not show any respect. Although the girls, they tried to cover themselves, but the demigods, they did not show any respect. So they were acting like demons only. So ultimately great sage Narada had to curse them to reform them. So they took birth in the courtyard of our house of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, and ultimately they were delivered by Krishna. So having an ugly body or a body that looks like that of a demon is not the standard. The standard is our consciousness, the qualities that we imbibe in our lives. So this verse is basically describing of the people who completely deny the existence of God. Just like scientists and other atheists who say that the God doesn't exist, there is no controller of this cosmic manifestation, it is produced of sex desire, everything that exists is matter. But Srila Prabhupada, he nicely puts up these arguments against the arguments of these atheists, that this is an atheistic theory, asatyam, that this world is unreal, that it has no controller. This cosmic manifestation is called Jagat. Jagat means the cosmic manifestation that is always moving. Just like in our city in Mumbai, we see so many cars, motor cars, people, they are always moving all around, 24 hours a day. But they are always moving in proper order, in proper lanes. Even at 80 kilometers per hour, 90 kilometers per hour, and there is no collision if they move in proper lanes, in proper order. Similarly, people. So how is it that such an order is maintained? The answer is because there is a perfect arrangement, proper arrangement behind all this. There is the traffic police and the other administrators of the state are involved. Similarly, these planetary systems like Sun, Moon, Earth and millions of others, planets, other planets, they are always moving around in their prescribed orbits. Just like Sun, it is said that it moves around 60,000 miles per second at this speed. Our Earth is moving at the speed of more than 1,000 miles per 12 hours. Still, we do not feel any jerk. And although the aeroplanes, which move at a much lower speed than that of these planets, we can feel the jerks, you know, even in our motor cars. So, such a perfect arrangement of nature of this cosmic manifestation is there. So, even in this small arrangement, even in day-to-day life, we see that for this managing this movement of the people, of the cars, motor cars, if there can be controllers controlling all this behind all this, then why cannot there be a controller controlling all the movements of the planetary systems, which are much, much higher bodies, higher planets? So this argument by the atheists that there is no controller is completely baseless, because although these planets, they are moving at such a high speed, still there is no collision. The proper order is maintained. And it's not that there are only three or four planets. Sri Brahma Samhita mentions that there are Jagadanda Koti, Kotesh Ashesh, Ashesh Brahmand means unlimited Brahmands. There are unlimited universes and there are unlimited planets in those universes. And their movement is being properly controlled. And other arrangements in nature we see, just like the sun rises at a particular moment, it sets at a particular moment, then night comes, then the cycle of six seasons. And we see that the banyan trees, it's such a huge tree, but if you see its seed, it's so small. Then, and if the scientists say, the people say that this world has come about by chance, then it should happen only once in a while. But every time you sow a seed, banyan tree seed, a big tree will come out. It's not a chance. So this, when people say that this world has come about by chance, as we have read in our books, in our schools, colleges, that argument seems to be childish. Just like if someone is there, then it doesn't mean that he has come about by chance, he has fallen from the sky, just like anything. He has to have a father, he has to have a mother. And when they unite, then the child comes about. So there is a cause behind everything. So, there's a proper order behind everything, just like Brahma Samhita states that the sun is rotating by the order of Krishna, under the Krishna's control. So when we say control, this thing is being controlled, just like this planetary movement is being controlled, that automatically implies that there is a controller. There is an order giver and there is an order carrier. Just like the sun is moving. Yasyagya Brahmati Sambrahma Kala Chakram. By whose order sun is moving? There has to be someone who is giving order. So that immediately implies that there is a order giver and there is an order carrier, that is the sun planet. So all these perfect arrangements we see in nature, which if an intelligent person sees with his common sense, then he can immediately recognize that there is a lawmaker, there is a controller behind all this. And if that controller is there, he has to be the supreme controller, because it's not everyone's cup of tea to just control the planetary movements, to control the universal affairs. So in the ninth verse we see that when people are misguided by this kind of mentality, The result is, because they do not recognize any control, they want to enjoy life. So the conclusion is, the demonic who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world because they find that there is no controller. And when there is no control, people behave according to their instincts. And we see today that although people say that we have made so much advancement, but what kind of advancement? We have more mechanized slaughterhouses. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki. We have more mechanized slaughterhouses and advancement in killing people, because in the previous days when we had bombs, they could kill at the most hundreds of people. But now we have bombs like nuclear bombs, which can kill thousands of people at a time. And the effects of these kinds of bombs are everlasting. So when the people have demonic mentality, the products that come about, they are also demonic. Mechanized slaughterhouses, where they said that more than 50,000 cows are killed in India every day. And cow is supposed to be one of our mothers. She provides milk. So in the Shastra it is mentioned there are seven mothers and cow is one of them. And people do not care, because they are after money, because the demonic mentality is there. So that is why Srila Prabhupada mentions that although these people are foolish, sinful, but if they actually try to search out the cause of this cosmic manifestation, if they are actually sincere, if they are open-minded, then they may do their research work, but ultimately then they have to, if they do their research work sincerely, then ultimately they will come to a conclusion that Vasudevam Sarvamiti Sa Mahatmasu Durlabha. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate, that those who are after knowledge, after many many births they surrender unto me. But then such a great soul is very rare. The soul that recognizes Krishna's control, Krishna says that such a Mahatma is Sudurlava, that he's very rare. One who recognizes Krishna's control is very rare. And when someone recognizes Krishna's control, then next step that will take place is that he'll surrender to Krishna. And that is actually Krishna's instruction, ultimate instruction of Bhagavad Gita, that Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masucha. That abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. And I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So that is what Krishna desires from all of us. Surrender. So 5,000 years back, when Krishna appeared personally on this planet in a place called Vrindavan, he lived some part of his life in Vrindavan, then Mathura, then Dwarka, Hastinapur. So he demanded that kind of surrender. And anyone who did not surrender, Krishna liberated him by killing him. And it's not that Krishna, why God is impartial that Krishna has to kill, why he killed them. The thing is that Krishna's killing and his protection is all the same, because the person whom he kills or whom he protects is liberated. He gets mukti. Just like when Krishna was in Mathura, he demanded from a washerman some clothes. The washerman, he was very envious because he was an associate of Kamsa. He did not give, so Krishna immediately chopped off his head with his single blow of his wrist. Now someone may ask, why did Krishna kill him? Because that was the only way he could get mukti, because on his own that washerman could never surrender. He could have performed millions of lifetimes of austerities to get darshan of Krishna, and when he got darshan of Krishna, he did not surrender. So that was Krishna's way of liberating them. Another thing another point that comes out is that those people who do not recognize Krishna's control, another side of the coin is that they do not deny God's presence, but they declare themselves as God. There are many people even in Mumbai you will find who declare themselves as God. They are common people, but still they pose themselves as God. So it is one thing to deny existence of God, but the worst scenario is when people start worshipping some human being, some mortal as God. And what is the result? Ultimately, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam one past time that these kind of people are not only present today, but they were present even 5,000 years back. There was a king called Pandrak. He was the king of a prince called Karush, and he declared himself to be the original Vasudeva, although Krishna was personally present on the planet. He used to wear a yellow silken dhoti garland around his neck, and he had a fake insignia of Srivatsa mark on his chest. He had a fake costume jewel around his neck. He wore precious helmet studded with precious gems. And he went to the extreme that he actually sent a messenger to Krishna with a message that tell Krishna that he is not the original Vasudeva, I am the original Vasudeva. So he has my symbols of lotus, conch shell, disc and club. So he should give all those four symbols back to me. Otherwise he should be ready to fight with me in the battle. So when this messenger reached in the assembly of Maharaja Ugrasen, who was Krishna's grandfather, the assembly was full of the ministers of Maharaja Ugrasen, Krishna, Balaram, they were also present. So when this messenger actually delivered this message that Maharaj Pandrak has descended in Vasudev has descended in the form of Maharaj Pandrak, and he is demanding all his symbols back, and he is demanding all of you to surrender. Now, nobody in the assembly took him seriously, and actually, when that messenger delivered the message, everyone laughed to their full satisfaction, as if they had heard a big joke. When everyone had sufficiently laughed, then Krishna spoke to the messenger and told him that go back and tell your king Pandrak that the very same disc that he's asking from me and calling it as his own, with that very same disc I will cut off his head in the battle, and be ready for the battle. Immediately Krishna started for the battle, and in the battlefield again, because Krishna is a fun loving person, he's called Rasaraj. He takes great pleasure in enjoying different kinds of rasas with his devotees. He's a very simple person. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, and at the same time he's a very fun loving person also. He likes to have fun. He's not a serious kind of God. So when Krishna went on the battlefield, he was standing on his chariot, and for the first time he saw Pandrak. And he saw Pandrak actually had two fake hands also. So Pandrak had put two more hands. So he had four hands, just like Vishnu. And he was holding symbols of conch shell, disc, club and lotus. And he was wearing a huge garland around his neck, insignia of Srivatsa, costume jewel, then fake costume jewel, original costume jewel and Srivatsa, they belong to Krishna. So again when Krishna saw him on the battlefield imitating him, again Krishna standing on the chariot, he laughed to his full satisfaction. Just like if we see some joker in circus, immediately start laughing. So Krishna again laughed. So it was so embarrassing for King Pandrak. And then the battle ensued, and ultimately Krishna killed Pandrak, cut off his head with his Sudarshan disc. And actually Pandrak wanted his Sudarshan disc from Krishna. So Krishna said, okay, you want my Sudarshan disc, so take it. And Krishna released, and it cut off his head. So Pandrak, this king, died, and he had a friend called the king of Kashi. And Krishna killed him also and made his head to fall down in the kingdom of Kashi, so that people there and his relatives also could see his condition. So that is the kind of surrender Krishna demands from us. That surrender, otherwise you will be liberated in some another way. It's not that Krishna is partial, but some people, they do not voluntarily surrender, and that is their well-being, because Srila Prabhupada mentioned that ultimately Krishna wants everyone to be happy, and Krishna has made every living entity in a way that that living entity can only be happy, every jiva can only be happy when connected to Krishna. So that is the inbuilt system, that if we want to be happy, we can only be happy when connected to Krishna. We can't change that. We can try being separated from Krishna and we can never be happy. So that is what Krishna demanded, this kind of surrender. So but, and in Satya Yoga, it's mentioned that the demons, we are talking about demons here. The demons, they were present in different planets. So when Treta Yuga came, the demons were present on the same planet, Ravana, Lord Ramachandra. And when Dwapar Yuga came, the demons were present in the same family, like Kauravas and Pandavas. We see the Kauravas, those on the demonic side. But in Kali Yuga, the demon and the divine, both are present in the same person. And ultimately Krishna wants to kill the demons. But in Kali Yuga, the demons and divines both are present in the same person, so he can't kill. Therefore, he took another incarnation. He came himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali Yuga, whose 500th anniversary of sannyas we are celebrating this week. Because if Krishna again makes those rules which he demands, those that kind of surrender that he demanded 5000 years back, then, and those who didn't surrender, he killed them, he liberated them by killing them, then if he implies those standards right now in Kali Yuga, then he'll have to kill everyone, because demons and demonic and divine qualities are present in the same person. So, and that can't happen, because he can't kill everyone. Therefore, he took another incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as the most munificent incarnation of Lord Krishna, 500 years back in a place called Navadvip. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he didn't demand surrender. He actually gave unlimited mercy. Whether you surrender or not, just take. Just like there is one pastime, Lord Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. So there were two very, very big sinful people, Jagaya and Madhaya. They were both brothers. And actually they were Brahmins by caste, but because of bad association, they got degraded and they became very sinful. And there was no sin in the entire world that they had not committed. It's mentioned that Yamaraj's assistants, they were continuously 24 hours day and night writing their sins, recording their sins, and everyone was completely exhausted. Still Jagaya and Madhaya were, they continued committing sins, and there was no hope for them. Everyone, even Yamaraj was bewildered that there is no punishment. What punishment could we give to them? Any punishment we give to them is very less. So, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Krishna and Balaram came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, because they did not demand that kind of surrender, and they are very merciful, they destroyed the demonic mentality of Jagaya and Madhaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu, you go to each and every person, every house, and tell them to chant Krishna's name, and tell them to worship Krishna, to always chant Krishna's name, to always remember Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu went from house to house with Srila Haridas Thakur. And Nityananda Prabhu then came across these two brothers, Jagaya and Madhaya. So the people there in Navadvip, they warned Nityananda Prabhu that please do not go near these two brothers. They are very sinful and they might harm you. But still, because it was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu went. And when Nityananda Prabhu went, actually Madhaye, he picked up, Nityananda Prabhu begged actually from these two people that please surrender to Krishna, please chant Krishna's name. Humbly he begged. Still, they did not agree and they chased Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu away. So they had to run in fear. Actually, they were enjoying. They did not fear anyone. He's the Supreme Lord Himself. Second time again, Nityananda Prabhu approached Jagaya and Madhaya. This time, he was very humble in a submissive mood. This is the same Lord Nityananda who, when he appeared 5,000 years back with Lord Krishna, if nobody surrendered, if anyone was against the authority of Krishna, just like the Kauravas, they offended Balram in Hastinapur and they offended Krishna also. So Balram tolerated insult that they gave to him, but he could not tolerate insults to Krishna. So he took his plow and he just cut off the entire area of Hastinapur from the earth, and he was about to throw that entire Hastinapur city into the Ganges, drown that city. But still the Kauravas, they came and begged forgiveness. So this is the same Balram. But when he came with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came with unlimited compassion. So he begged humbly. So Madhaya, he picked up a pot. He became very angry. They were intoxicated. And he hit Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, we can see that picture is there, near that Mridanga stand. So those two brothers. So he hit Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu's head started bleeding. Still Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't budge. He still kept on begging humbly to chant please chant the name of Krishna. Please take to Krishna consciousness. And Madhaya, he was such a rogue that he was again about to hit Nityananda Prabhu. But his brother Jagaya, he took compassion. He became a little compassionate upon Lord Nityananda. So he stopped Madhaya that, no, this person is already bleeding, he is so humble, don't hit him. So when this news actually reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became like a fire and he immediately came running to the spot. And he immediately called out, Chakra, Chakra. And immediately Sudarshan disc appeared in the hands of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was about to slice the heads of Jagaya and Madhaya, but Nityananda Prabhu, he fell down at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. He said the same thing, that my Lord, in this incarnation you have come as a munificent incarnation. Mahavadanyaya. You have to show your mercy, because if you want to kill them, then you will have to kill everyone else. Because everyone is more or less a Jagaya or Madhaya. Everyone is more or less sinful. Therefore, please show your mercy to these two brothers. And Jagaya, he actually protected me from Madhaya. And as soon as Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately became compassionate on Jagaya, who had saved Nityananda Prabhu, and immediately awarded him love for Krishna. He washed away all his sins. So when Madhaya saw this, he also was very bewildered seeing the Sudarshan disc in Mahaprabhu's hands. He saw that his brother had got mercy. So he also begged mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu said, you have offended my devotee, Lord Nityananda. So only if he forgives you, then only I will forgive you. So Madhaya approached Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu, very lovingly, he embraced him and he forgave him. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted Madhaya. And then both of these brothers were delivered from all their sinful activities. Immediately, instantly, by Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, because of their unlimited mercy. This is same Krishna Balaram, who didn't tolerate people who did not surrender. But now, even if they were insulted, they were beaten up, still they gave their mercy in Kali Yuga. And when Jagaya and Madhaya, they were purified of all their sins, immediately Yamaraj, he came down on earth, and seeing the wonderful mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had bestowed upon Jagaya and Madhaya, and seeing the extent of their sins, he actually fainted. How could one be so merciful? So this is how that same Krishna, when he comes at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is unlimitedly merciful. Therefore, this age of Kali Yuga, although very sinful, but it is still all the more glorious because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu, they are the most merciful incarnations of the Supreme Lord. They have come to give the highest at the very lowest price. They do not ask for anything. They just say that you just take it. Just take Krishna's name. And specifically they have given this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the more we chant this mantra, and the process is, when we chant, we have to hear each and every syllable. The more we chant, the more our consciousness becomes purified. The more we become purified of our demonic tendencies, which we may not be aware of. And then when we are in a purified state, when we have developed love for Krishna, then actually people want to become God. But when we are in love with Krishna, Prabhupada said, we can actually become greater than God. Just like Krishna's cowherd boyfriends in Vrindavan, they are of the same age as Krishna. Because they are saturated with love for Krishna, and Krishna also loves them the most, because Krishna says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthate bhajameham. As you surrender unto me, accordingly I will reward you. So if we love Krishna, Krishna will love us. So because these cowherd boys are so much saturated with love for Krishna, Krishna also loves them very much. So these, because of this love, actually they do not consider Krishna as God. They consider Krishna as their dearmost friend. So they wrestle with Krishna. They sometimes beat Krishna. It is mentioned that when Krishna was very small, he would play in the fields of Vrindavan, in the dust of Vrindavan, with small gopas and gopis of his age when he was 3-4 years old. So sometimes while he would be playing, he would quarrel with his friends. Sometimes he would beat them, and sometimes he would himself get beaten up. So this is same Krishna who is the source of Narasimha Dev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the biggest demon. This is same Krishna who is the source of Varaha Dev. Varaha Dev is an expansion of Krishna. And what was the size of Varaha Dev who killed Hiranyakashipu? That if we take the water from all the oceans of the universe and put all that water in one skin pore of Varaha Dev, still that single skin pore of Varaha Dev would not fill. That was the size of Varaha Dev. And this is same Krishna, because there is reciprocation of love, because we can conquer Krishna by love. Same Krishna, he gets beaten up by his dearmost friends, and he doesn't mind. He enjoys. And Mother Yashoda, what is her position? Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, whom the 33 crore demigods, the great sages, and everyone is worshipping, has been worshipping since time immemorial, that same Krishna is eternally the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Same Krishna. And he is under their control. He can't eat without their permission, because sometimes Mother Yashoda, she is such a great devotee that she can chastise Krishna. She can even bind Krishna. She scares Krishna with a stick. And Krishna actually becomes scared of Mother Yashoda when she has a stick in her hand. It's not that Krishna performs a leela that I have to now act as being fearful. He actually becomes scared, because Vrindavan is a place where not only Krishna, where not only the Brajavasis, his devotees forget that Krishna is God, but Krishna himself forgets in Vrindavan that he is God. Therefore, he becomes very fearful of Mother Yashoda's stick. So, and Mother Yashoda controls Krishna completely as her child. She can even chastise Krishna. She can even bind Krishna. Sometimes she pulls his ears. Sometimes she makes him go to bed without food. And Krishna can't do anything. He's under their shelter. So that is her position, and that is achieved by pure love. And that this kind, and that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, the highest, the Braja Bhakti. Braja Bhakti means spontaneous loving devotional service with Krishna, and Krishna likes that the most. Because original Shyam Sundar Krishna, he is present in Vrindavan, reciprocating with his devotees. And these kind of dealings we can also aspire, we can also have, provided we accept the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And that is the chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting this Maha Mantra and hearing attentively, we can reach the perfectional stage of life. That is pure love for Krishna, unalloyed love for Krishna. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. So this is the 500th anniversary of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. He took sannyas. Although Krishna is Rasaraj, he takes great pleasure in having fun, in having loving reciprocations with his devotees. But because he cares for us so much, he sacrificed all his happiness. He became a sannyasi. Mahaprabhu became a sannyasi. And he gave up all his family life. He gave up his mother, his young beautiful wife, who was none other than the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Just for us, Mahaprabhu has sacrificed. So if we simply accept that process, then we can also get that Braja Bhakti which Mahaprabhu actually came to give. That is the purpose of Mahaprabhu's descendants, to give Braja Bhakti to everyone. We may or may not have the qualification. The only qualification that is needed is just to accept the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And then we can, in this very life, we can be promoted to the spiritual realm. That is Golok Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? One question. So we'll end here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gracias.